rise among us. Let the praises of the King rise among us. Let it rise. Let the songs of the Lord rise among us. Let the songs of the Lord rise among us. Let the joy of the King rise among us. Let it rise.
To rise this morning after losing an hour. It was hard for me. It was definitely hard for me. Well, good morning. Welcome to winter. as we start spring break for most people. So what a crazy week it has been, especially weather-wise. High winds, hail, tornadoes here and there, 80-degree days, and then days where it doesn't get out of the 20s or 30s. So gotta love Missouri. So, well, we want to say good morning to you all and welcome. We've got a lot of people that are out and about traveling. As I said, we've got a lot of schools that are out for spring break. So people are taking the opportunity to do a little vacationing, some family time. We do also have some people that are out sick again. So we want to pray that they have a good time, and those that are sick to get well. And hopefully they'll come back well-rested to us here in the near future. I'm going to go ahead and turn over to the bulletin. And actually, real quick, I think I'm going to start with a straw poll. Some of you have noticed that we're missing some pews. We are, here in the near future, going to chairs. And we've decided on the chair we're going to use, but then we need to decide on the fabric of the chair and then the style of the pattern of the flooring we also want to use. So a lot of you have noticed out in the foyer, we've got some flooring tiles and some fabric splotches, I believe is the swatches. I was close. I was close. They could be splotches. Swatches. Anyway, there is a sheet out on the Welcome Center. It might be out on the credenza, one of the two. It looks a little bit like this. We are wanting to take a straw poll, kind of get some feedback from you all on what you like, what you don't like. If you haven't already, directly following service, if you would, stop by, take a look at the samples, mark one selection, only one. It's got the swatch, and then the flooring tile. So they're already combined, so just pick the combination that you like the best, and before you know it, we'll be looking fancy in here. Also, when you're out looking at the swatches and the flooring, stop by. And if you haven't voted yet, our annual meeting is over after service. So if you haven't voted, stop by. It's your last chance to vote for the upcoming church board and committees and so on and so forth. With that being said, tomorrow evening, for those church board members that are on the current year, tomorrow evening here at the church, 6:30, will be our last church board meeting for the 2016-2017 church calendar year. This Thursday at noon, our senior adults will be having a luncheon here at the church. And then next Sunday, directly following the morning worship, the newly elected church board, we're going to have a brief meeting. We usually meet in that west overflow classroom. And then you'll notice, if you've already read the bulletin, we have two upcoming SDMI meetings that say that each one of them is the last meeting of the year. We're going to only meet one time for that end of the year meeting, and that will be next Sunday evening at 5 if you're part of the current SDMI committee. And then we've got some upcoming events. On the 26th, we've got a lot going on the 26th. Special services, we will have missionaries here. The adult Sunday school classes will have a joint Sunday school here in the sanctuary, or in the fellowship hall, excuse me, in the fellowship hall. Then we'll have regular service where they will be presenting to us. And then directly following is our dog's lunch. So we've got a lot going on that Sunday. So keep these bulletins handy as a reminder for those. And then lastly, don't forget, the month of March, we are focusing on Inman Intermediate School. We're lifting up the faculty, staff, and students in prayer for this month.
Let me just say a couple of things while they're working on those technical adjustments. That happens great when it works correctly, but every once in a while that gets a mind of its own and doesn't necessarily work in the way that we'd like for it to. But we want to tell you that that as we think about the things that are happening, we had a youth event over the weekend, and we're confirming some things because we've got new people helping us transport people and be a part of those events. But it is our understanding, we believe, that one of our newer young people may have accepted Christ in that evening service, and we're trying to get that confirmed because they were not here today. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And then after the Sunday service last Sunday, there was an individual that requested a meeting with me this week. And so there's been one of the adults from our congregation that also just wanted to be reassured of some things and prayed to reaffirm a commitment that was previously made. So it's not a new conversion, but it is indeed confidence and assurance. And so we're glad that these people are making these decisions and moving and advancing in the Lord. And so we are ready to hear about our missions.
My children could not sleep at night because of the continuous shooting. They couldn't sleep because of the noise. My name is Sabha. I came here from Syria with my children. I've been living here in the town of Mafraq ever since the fighting started. We were forced to leave Syria. I didn't want my children to live in fear. Our children are the most important thing to us. We didn't want to leave, but it was too much pressure. Hungry, thirsty, and afraid, we couldn't handle it, and so we escaped and came here to Jordan.
I'm from Jordan. I'm the pastor of the Nazarene Church in Amman. The Syrian people, they start coming to Jordan at least 4 years ago. And since that time, we start, think about this people. How can we help them? We cannot be silent as a church when we see people come from there. Countries with nothing, literally with nothing, only their clothes. And we have to do something as a church to share with them what we have, and to share with them also the love of our God.
The church has been very good to us. We are doing okay here, but the situation is not easy. It can be hard to afford rent, water, and electricity bills. At least we feel safe, and we can sleep with ease now. I want my kids to do well in school. I wish not to have troubles and for my kids to remain safe. I thank God for everything we have.
How many of you during that film stopped to thank the Lord for the United States of America? And also, how many of you thought about, what can I do? If you've watched the news the last few days, we have not only a refugee crisis, but we have a food crisis and a water crisis coming from the refugees that are being displaced. Church of the Nazarene has compassionate ministries that deals directly with these situations. I'm not taking an offering today for compassionate ministries. I'm simply reminding you that if you feel led and would like to, we certainly have an outlet to help in those areas. If you make out a check, make it to Compassionate Ministries down in the little blank, and our church will make sure it gets there. Or if you fill out an envelope, make sure to put Compassionate Ministries on, and we'll make sure it gets there. Thank you so much. We are so blessed and need to be so thankful. At this time, we'll invite our ushers to come to receive our weekly tithes and offerings. Bob, would you come and ask God's blessings on our offering?
Grace, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this Lord's Day. We thank you for each and every one that's here today. Bless everyone. Bless those who are sick and couldn't be here today, dear Lord. Bless those who might be traveling. We ask now that you would bless this offering. Pray that it go for thy intended use. We'll ask these things in thy name. Amen.
The song that we're about to sing, we've sung, it's been a while probably since we've sung it, and I think most of you know it, but in case you don't, Justin, if you'll stick that up there for me real quick. It's an echo, and then it's kind of a round. So, gentlemen, you sing the regular writing, and ladies, you will sing the italics with Marie and I. So if you all want to stand up.
You are holy.
You are holy.
You are mighty.
You are mighty.
You are worthy.
You are worthy.
Worthy of praise.
I will follow.
I will listen.
I will listen.
I will love you.
I will love you
all of my days.
King.
Yeah.
awestruck wonder at the mention of your name. Jesus, your name is power, breath of living water, such a marvelous mystery.
Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna.
Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest.
Thank the Lord. Justin, take me back to that slide that says there's a new generation. You can be seated for a moment if you'd like. How many of you really think about these words when you sing them? Oftentimes we sing songs that are really familiar to us, and those are great and precious songs. But sometimes when we're singing a new song or something newer to us, we have to concentrate more to try to get the words placed right with the music. That's really not what I'm looking for right now. You know, what I'm looking for is for you to see what that says. I see a generation rising up to take their place with selfless faith. What do you see behind me? A generation stepping up, filling in the gaps, leading from their hearts. I stood in the foyer on Friday afternoon and watched a circle of teenagers with Stevie and Tiffany and Cody. And I watched Cody pray for them, and I watched Stevie and Tiffany drive the van away with them in it. When I saw that slide come up, it was almost funny at the time because they were giving directions for how those teens to behave, and I thought it wasn't very long ago that Stevie and Tiffany were hearing that same speech. And Cody's been known to sneak out a time or two when he wasn't supposed to. But you know, it does my heart good to see young people learning, growing, and establishing themselves as leaders in the church. These are people whose names are on the ballots. People who said yes. People who said I'll try. People who said I'm willing. A new generation rising up. Because we don't live forever. And we physically can't always do the same things forever. And as that changes, thank God that there are young people hungry for Jesus Christ and hungry to change their world that are stepping up. And what a fantastic thing. I just couldn't help myself as we were singing that. I just was overwhelmed, you know, thinking about the reality of that in our midst, even as we speak. We want to be mindful of those things that indeed are in print within our bulletin. We need to be praying for these ladies who are getting ready to help our church growth, Heather and Kelly and Sarah. Are all going to be adding to the church roles here before long, and I don't think any of the three of them are with us today, and some of them I know are sick or dealing with sick kids, and so pray for these families as they're dealing with that. There is a lot of sickness. Lonnie and Donna called me and spoke to me. They're fighting off this same thing that many of you have been fighting off with the coughing that goes on for like 3 years and that kind of thing, and matter of fact, Lonnie evidently had a touch of pneumonia and has kind of gotten past that. But Donna continues to heal from a broken pelvis, fracture in her pelvis, and I'm seeing more of you. More of you are giving me fist bumps through the winter, you know, and some of you are going, just pretend like we fist bumped, and you know, because we're trying to fight off germs. And as we age, and sometimes our body immune systems break down, and we're all just trying to stay well. Thank God we have a great physician who's able to touch and to help and to heal. And we can be sensitive to each other's needs and know that it's not because somebody's mad at somebody or they don't want to shake their hand or whatever, but we're just trying to stay well and stay healthy so we can come together and be together. What a joy. But it's so great to see Vonda back there in the pew this morning. Yeah, give the Lord a hand. Thank you for his healing power. We've been praying for her and continue to pray for her and Leo and many others that that indeed have been sick. And a lot of things going on. Lots of family members. Some of you are caring for family members that are sick. Some of you are praying. We have your neighbors on our prayer list. Thank you for having kind, caring, compassionate hearts to care about the people around you. I haven't really had time to research the situation, so I don't want to get into it too heavily. But just before I stepped on the platform this morning, there was a lady who met me in the foyer. She said, "I don't know if you remember me or not. I came here in the summer and visited your church. I have a handicapped daughter." She said, "I left early." I said, "I remember. I remember the day exactly." And she said, "I hadn't been back since, but there's some stuff going on in our lives. And so here's some information about that. And you pray over it and see what the Lord would have you to do. And I would love to stay, but because I have a handicapped daughter, I have to get back. She's asleep and someone else is watching her." But she came here because in that brief moment that she was here on that day, from that invitation during the summer, handing out the cups of the bottles of water and doing the God's Love giveaway. She was part of the God's Love giveaway is actually when she came in, and she said, I was here and you guys were kind to me. Thank you. From this pastor's heart, thank you for being kind to people you don't know. Thank you for being patient and tolerant with situations you don't understand. And thank you for loving the people who are trying to go through the journey and do the best they can with what they have to work with and whatever has been placed on the table for them and the people that are intertwined with their lives. Thank you for being a church that cares. May God help us to never lose that. So be mindful of these folks and these needs. Stand with me this morning if you would. We're going to sing together. The altars are open to you. And then we're going to lift our voices together in prayer. But I just wanted to tell you, you're touching people's lives. You're going out there and you're doing it as you are going, extending the invitation to people to be disciples of Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for living out Jesus.
Lord, I come. I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, now I need you. Sin runs deep, your grace is more. The grace is found, is where you are. And where you are, Lord, I am free. Holy death is Christ. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. You're my one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you.
As we pray this morning, we do also want to be mindful. I failed to update you, but Bill, you know, was involved in an accident last week. And we thank God for his protection over Bill's life, totaled out his truck. The family that hit him head on were about 23, is that right, Bill? Deaf, had a small infant child in the cab with them of the vehicle, and she was 6 months pregnant, and they lost the baby. And now, facing this father is facing charges of involuntary manslaughter. Pray that God will help us. If there's a way we can minister to this family, Bill and Charlotte are kind of keeping an eye on that situation. Obviously, they're directly involved. You know, folks, on any given day when we wake up and think it's a tough day, we have no idea sometimes what other folks are going through. And that's not to lessen your needs by any means. Everything is important. And I guess what I'm trying to say is God cares about everything that's going on with every one of you. That's how he is. And so he wants to respond to our needs. But let's be mindful of this family and their needs as well as we pray this morning. Father, we are indeed grateful to be your children and to have you as our Father. I know we've heard the phrases and seen the commercials that make a playoff of them back through the years and different things where someone says, my dad's bigger than your dad. Now, the truth of the matter is, our Father's bigger than everybody's Father. We have the biggest Father. But the cool thing is that everybody can have that same Father. It's not an exclusive club. Not by God's choice, anyway. For he so loved the world that he sent his Son, that whoever would believe on him would not perish but have everlasting life. And so, Father, our job is to live in appreciation for that gift. Those of us who have received it, that we would live in such a way as to be responding to God's word and living out a life that hopefully would attract others to want to know the same God that we profess as our Father. Lord, being a father isn't always easy. Fathers sometimes make wrong choices. So Lord, help us to learn to be like you, because we know you make right choices all the time. Lord, you always know what to do. And you're willing to share that knowledge with us, that wisdom. Lord, sometimes, whether we're fathers or mothers or sons or daughters or whatever the case might be, Lord, we just have kind of an independent streak. We just want to do our own thing, go our own way. Well, we're all about having your blessing. We still want you to be controlling us. We just don't like to be told what to do. And so, Lord, forgive us for our rebellious spirits. Forgive us for our independence from you. Help us to learn, Lord, that's not really how to live. Help us, Father, to live a submitted life like Jesus did, and to live it in such a way that it'll draw attraction and attention to others, and they say, that's how I want to live. That they'll see us, and rather than say, if that's Christianity, I don't need it, that they'll say, if that's Christianity, I can't wait to get it. Lord, you've heard the requests this morning, and you knew them even before we spoke them. You knew them before they were printed in the bulletin. You knew them before they became impressed upon the hearts of the individuals directly connected to them. So, Lord, we ask you to do your work. But, Lord, we want to do our part to intercede. We want to do our part to lift up. We want to do our part to bring into the throne room these names. Because, Lord, it just might be, not that you don't know or that we need to remind you, but as we are mindful of these things, you might just give us some specific direction as to how we can be Jesus to those people in those situations. How we can be God with skin on to those folks who need to feel the touch of the Master's hand. So Lord, we just pray today that you would open our hearts and minds to receive your word. We pray that you would help us to open our lives to the lives of others, that as we see human need around us, that we respond to it. And Lord, that we are so convinced in our minds that being a disciple is the right thing to do, that we're willing to pay whatever the price is in order to help others become disciples as well. Thanks for what's been accomplished, Lord. We celebrate, indeed, we celebrate those people who are hearing your voice and are growing and asking for prayer. They're responding to invitations at events to accept you as their personal Savior. And Lord, help us as we follow up on these things, that we indeed can help nurture these and help them to stay connected. For we know the enemy would like to pull them out of the fold, separate them, cause them to doubt. So Satan, we just serve notice that we come against you today, not because we have any power or virtue, but by the power of the shed blood of Jesus Christ and the authority of the Word. By the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, we want to go out from this place today and represent and give other people a chance to know you and to go to heaven eternally as well. So, Father, touch each need. Every person is important. Every need is valued. You know about every one of them. Even when we can't remember them or fail to mention them, you don't forget. So, Lord, thanks for having us on your mind. And help us to have a mind after yours and a heart after yours, that we indeed can be your representatives, your ambassadors here on this earth, and that we can make a difference in the world that we live in the area that we have influence over for your kingdom's sake. Make this church and our lives a lighthouse to rescue the perishing. And for that, we will be forever grateful. We ask it in the name of your precious Son, Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. We indeed are trying to come into the new age of technology. The problem is that the technology changes so fast, I'm usually a world behind. My son has been challenging me as he's learning some things. He is challenging me to learn some things, and he's much more receptive than I am. But for those of you who might be able and who might care to, you can take your phones this morning. If you have the YouVersion of the Bible on your phone, you can click into YouVersion and click on Events, and Nixon Church of the Nazarene should come up, and you'll have this morning's sermon outline on there, as well as all the Scripture in case you can't find it, because Pastor Gary says too many Scriptures too fast. And it will be there after the service is over, so if you need to catch up when you get home this afternoon, it will be there. So I did not do this. My son did this, so thank you, Cody. And I'm learning how to do this. And so you pray that we continue to reach out, because this stuff goes out on the internet, and everybody who clicks into the YouVersion of the Bible could potentially run across this stuff. It's there on the site. And so it may give us a further outreach and impact on people that we didn't even know that we could impact. And so enjoy. If you have your Bibles this morning, go to Matthew chapter 16. I want to talk to you for a few moments here this morning about the cost of discipleship. The cost of discipleship. We are in the midst of the Lenten season, and while we have not necessarily set up specific services, you know, there are many churches that have observed specifically Ash Wednesday, and they will do Good Friday, and they'll have special services on these times. And while we don't have that on our schedule, we certainly want you to be aware of the season and the point in the calendar, the Christian calendar that we are at, so that if you so choose, you can observe the Lenten season, which is a season of penance, a season of sacrifice. We've talked to you in the last couple of services, those of you who have been here, about the possibility of making some personal sacrifice, about going through some type of personal fasting during these 40 days and 6 Sundays that lead up to Easter Sunday, when we celebrate the resurrection, and indeed then relieve ourselves of that fasting that we're doing as a part of a Lenten observance. And so I turn your attention to Matthew chapter 16 as we think about how the Lenten season and the observance of that Lenten season can fit into and integrate with our desire to carry out our mission to make disciples, to win 64 new converts and touch 1,200 people with the love of God in the course of the next year. And I don't know if you've been keeping up with things or not, but as it stands now, the first 3 new converts out of the gate have all come out of the youth department. So you can be proud of your young people and hopefully appreciate what they're doing in their Sunday school and their NYI and their training, the events that they're having, because there are young people making decisions for Christ as a result of their involvement in our youth program. I'm also beginning to get good reports. I wish you could have been with me on the Wednesday night when people were testifying about how they're beginning to interact with people and the blessing that they're receiving by trying to share Christ. And and so we're doing much, much better, working hard at invitations. If you're facing the same personal struggle that I'm facing, I think I acknowledged this last week, but I'll do it again right quick. Sometimes I'm having difficulty personally, and I'm a preacher, and this is supposed to all be easy for me, right? But sometimes I have trouble moving from invitation based on the timing of the situation and what's going on and whether you have an opportunity to get into a deeper conversation. You know, we just have to pray for divine appointments. But sometimes I have difficulty moving from inviting someone to church. I have trouble getting on into the opportunity to talk to them further about perhaps inviting Jesus Christ to be a part of their life. And so that's the struggle I'm facing right now, trying to figure out how to do a better transition and do that so that I can keep up with the presentations that I am trying to make to reach the goals that I have. And the leadership team is meeting as we have begun. They met last Thursday evening. The storm kind of threw us for a little bit of a loop as far as physically all getting into the same place at the same time. But all of the ministries, 6 of the 8 ministries that now have leaders in place, were either here live or submitted written reports. And so there are goals that are coming into shape, and they are submitting their concepts of what evangelism that their ministries might be doing, and how many people might come to Christ through a children's ministry or youth ministry or through the worship team or through the facilities, the way we use the facilities, the care ministries. And I was so excited. I was so excited this morning because someone walked into church and they said, I have this certain thing going on on my property, and I've done everything I know how to do, and I'm hesitant to ask. I try to do everything myself, and I'm hesitant to ask for help. But is it possible we might have some people who might be able to help me? I said, we have Helping Hands. Talk to Rennie, and we have Helping Hands ministry, and we'll see if we can get somebody to help you with that. See, that's what it takes, folks. We just have to make each other aware, because people can't help with what they don't know, and it's okay if you have something you can't do, even if it's changing a light bulb. Get with Rennie. Rennie is in charge. Wave at me, Rennie. Rennie is in charge of care and helping hands ministry, and so we want to be involved in people's lives. Now, we might have to adjust our schedules. You might have to be a little patient with us and that, those kind of things. But indeed, we are trying to step into real life ministry, aiding both people inside and outside the church. And so if you have needs, share with us. We'll do our best. We're not perfect. We may not get it done as quick as you'd like, or we may not get it done the way you like. I'm not sure, you know. Or maybe next time you won't want to ask us at all when it's all said and done. I don't know. But at any rate, we're going to try to be helpful, and we're going to try to help each other. And so thank you for crossing that bridge from, I hate to ask for help, to saying, here's some people who said they're willing to help, so I'll ask. You have not because... All right. So some of you were here last week, right? So, at any rate, God is doing some wonderful things in our lives. What's the cost of discipleship? You know, Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 talks to us about being living sacrifices. But Romans 12 and 2 says to not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I think that what happens there is that we need to change our mindset. Okay? We need to think differently. So let's read together Matthew chapter 16, beginning at verse 21. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Peter took him aside, began to rebuke him, saying, "Never, Lord, this shall never happen to you." Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." Peter did not want Jesus to be killed. Peter could not fathom in his mind that Jesus being killed would have any good purpose. Peter had good intentions. Peter was not a bad person. But Peter was trying to talk Jesus out of doing what God sent him here to do. And oftentimes, in the ebb and flow of life, folks, oftentimes there's stuff on the table that God begins to move us toward or into or ask us to do, and nobody else understands. Everybody else thinks it's ridiculous. Everybody else thinks it's crazy. But Jesus looked at Peter and said, "Peter, you're thinking out of the flesh. And you're not thinking about the things of God. You're thinking about the things of men." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what he has done. I tell you the truth, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Peter's mind, his heart was right, but his mind was wrong. And Jesus said, "Peter, you need to change your mindset. You have a good heart, but your mind is wrong. And if I do what you're saying to me, what you're thinking, I will be out of the will of God." Those are hard words to hear. But oftentimes those words come to us. You're trying to think logically as opposed to spiritually. And sometimes the things of God do not make sense, and that's why you need God to do them. Jesus has been with the disciples for 3 years, and now he's saying he's going to die. How does that make any sense? Looking at it in retrospect, as Christians in the 21st century sitting in church with the whole Bible before us, how much sense does Jesus dying on the cross to save our souls make? Makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? Didn't make any sense to Peter. Sometimes the things in life that don't make sense to us doesn't necessarily mean because they don't make sense, they're not God's plan. So as we think about this issue of what does it mean to be a follower of Christ, what does it mean to be a disciple? We've been talking a lot about making disciples. What does it really mean to be a disciple? I mean, what are we asking these people to buy into? What do we ask these people to be a part of? And how can we help them get there if we're not there ourselves? What does it mean? What's the cost of being a disciple? I think Jesus set the whole thing up in verse 24 when he said, if anyone would come after me, he must first deny himself. Second, take up his cross. And third, follow me. And if you stop and think about these things, they kind of equate to the Christ life, because the truth of the matter is, as we look at this first criteria, the denial of self, it means to give up. Denial of self means to give up. It means to realize that the life that I've been living is not productive and getting me where I need to go, and I need to give up the way I've been living. I need to renounce sin. I need to accept Jesus Christ. And so when he talks about the denial of self, he's talking about us giving our life up to him. Acknowledging our need for and dependency on Christ for life. I take your attention to another story in the Scriptures of a young man who had a lot on the ball. In Matthew chapter 19, verses 16 through 30, where it says, now a man came up to Jesus and asked, teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life? Right question. Why do you ask me about what is good? Jesus replied, there is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, obey the commandments. Which ones? The man inquired. Jesus replied, do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother and love your neighbor as yourself. All these I have kept, the young man said. What do I still lack? Jesus answered, if you want to be perfect, go and sell your possessions and give to the poor and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. Now hear this. When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. And in earthly perceptions, having great wealth means I can be self-sufficient. I don't need anything or anybody else. And to surrender great wealth means to give up the security that I have control of and place the security for my life in the hands of somebody invisible. Now, how much sense does that make? To the practical mind and I, not much. But in retrospect, again, with the entire Bible and all that Jesus taught and all that he came and died for, the idea of surrendering our life to someone and receiving forgiveness of our sins and the promise of a home in heaven, that's not too bad a deal, is it? Then Jesus said to his disciples, I tell you the truth, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and asked, well, who then can be saved? Jesus looked at them and said, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. God is Lord of what you can't see and caretaker of what you don't know. And owner of everything you need. Peter answered him, we have left everything to follow you. What then will there be for us? Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth, that the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you have followed me, will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses, or brothers, or sisters, or father, or mother, or children, or fields for my sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first. Those who appear to be doormats here, those who appear to have nothing here, those who appear to always be at the end of the line here, when they get to heaven, it won't be like that. Everybody will be on equal terms. I'm not sure how everybody gets to be first in line, but in heaven that's the way it'll be. Everybody's got equal billing. I still don't know how it works. I don't. I'm telling you, it's everybody's of equal value to God. Acknowledging need for and dependency on Christ for life. Doing away with self-sufficiency, the rich young ruler, give up your wealth, so he went away sad. Versus Peter and the others who left everything to follow Jesus, and Jesus said to them, anyone who has put me ahead of their own family that they understand and see and touch on this earth, anyone who puts me ahead of all the earthly things that are of value, there will be a time and a place where they'll receive 100-fold and eternal life. Our problem is that in the flesh, we're all about instant gratification. We want the results now. And you have to remember that God is just always I am. There is no past and there is no future. Everybody gets everything now because God is always now. 1,000 years is as a day, and a day is as 1,000 years. We have to remember that the supreme and sovereign God of heaven is not on our calendar or our timetable, because everything is now for Him. And it's a perspective that could help us deal with life a lot easier. The way we perceive ourselves has a lot to do with how we get through life. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And verse 11. Paul wrote, I have made a fool of myself, but you drove me to it. I ought to have been commended by you, for I am not in the least inferior to the super apostles, even though I am nothing. See, part of our problem is we want to believe that we're something. Somebody. Now, this is one of those things that getting our mind right is a challenge, because understanding that we have value to God and He values us all the same, and that we do have value, but coming to an evaluation of ourselves to where we don't think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think, that's hard. That's hard. But Paul had it down. I am nothing. I am not more important than everybody else. I don't mean more to God than everybody else. I'm on equal terms. Matter of fact, when he wrote to the church in Philippi, he wrote these words in that letter, chapter 2 and verse 3. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Now, I don't think God has any desire for you to be belittling yourself. I don't think He has any desire for you to make less of yourself than He values you as. But that's not mostly our problem. Most of our problem in the flesh is that we think we're number one. And we think us is more important than anything else. I, the eternal I, is at the center of all sin. Selfishness. So denial of ourself means to give up. But then he said, not only did he say to deny yourself, but he said, take up your cross. So he didn't only say give up, but he said, now there's a death. Take up a cross. Be crucified. Give up and die out. And dying out is what sanctification is all about. We surrender ourselves in the beginning to say, I need a Savior. I surrender. I give up my life. Now I want to die out to myself, because self is what gets in the way from being all that I really need to be. The surrender of my rights, of my will and control. Watchman Nee, an old Chinaman preacher who was in prison a good part of his life, like the Apostle Paul, said, you can't hurt a dead man. I was in the gym this week. Andrew Womack came up on the screen in front of the bike I was riding, and I put my earphones in and turned it over there, and he was saying just that thing. Can't hurt a dead man. You can do all kinds of things to a corpse, and the corpse won't care. You say, that's morbid. It's true. And when we die to ourselves, we don't get hurt so easily. When we die to ourselves, it's not all about us. We don't care. When we die to ourselves, it's not about getting in line first, or it's not about being upset about being cut off, or it's not about I need to prepare at the cost of helping others to take care of myself. Romans chapter 6 and verse 6 says this to us. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, so that we should no longer be slaves to sin. If I remember correctly, crucifixion was supposed to be one of the most inhumane ways to die. It was supposed to be one of the most horrible kinds of punishment that there was. But the end result was death, and Jesus said, you know what? You need to be crucified. The old self in you needs to be crucified. That thing that's about you more than anything else needs to die. Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 5. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. There's that mind thing again. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. And we're going to talk about that nature in just a moment, but I want to refer you to one other verse of Scripture where we have been given a scriptural directive to die. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, I've been crucified with Christ, and I, that's me, no longer live. Okay, well, if I don't live, I can't be making demands. And if I don't live, I can't be getting hurt. And if I don't live, then others can benefit from what I have. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Watchman Nee said, what is lacking most in the lives of Christians today is not a better way of living, but a better way of dying. We need to die a thorough death. Have you ever gotten into one of those movie kind of things where there's a sequel and at the end of every movie someone's supposed to die, and then the next movie they're alive again, and they get you think they get killed again, and then they live again? They just never die. The bad guy, it's always the bad guy. Yeah. And the bad guy in us doesn't want to die, and about the time we think we've got him killed, he rears up his head. We need to die a thorough death. We talked about in Romans chapter 8, the nature, changing the nature. Let me read to you a passage from 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 8. His divine power, this is talking about God, His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises so that through them, you may participate in the divine nature. That's His nature. And escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. That's your carnal nature. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, to goodness knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. How many of you want to be effective and productive? Then die out to the carnal nature. Be crucified with Christ. Begin to live a life that is all about God using you and your resources, which are His resources to start out with, to benefit others. Because you see what's going to happen is the retirement that we're planning for, and I'm planning for retirement, I've got retirement savings, the retirement that we're planning for to live on this earth, eventually we're going to die. And no matter how much is left over, whatever hasn't been done on the bucket list, whatever, it's not going to matter. We're going one of two places. We're going into eternity. We'll go one of two places. So how much better can life be if we live our lives as a vessel of God to benefit everyone around us rather than living life all about us? But that's hard. That's hard. And it doesn't make sense to us sometimes because we have to prepare for the future. And I think you should. It's hard. I'm talking about a balance. I'm talking about finding the fine line. I'm talking about... But here's the deal. God will help us if we listen to Him, if we ask Him, if we pay attention to Him. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:31, I die every day. When I awaken, I have to remember that I gave my life to Christ. I am His. He is mine. I surrendered to Him. It's not about my plan today. It's about His plan. It's about His will. Oswald Chambers said, I must be crucified until all that is left is the life of Christ in my flesh and blood. I must be crucified until all that is left is the life of Christ in my flesh and blood. Which brings us to the third thing. When I have given up my life, when I have died out to myself, when I have denied myself and taken up my cross, then I follow Him. I've given myself to Him now, I follow Him. What's that like? It's abiding in and living through Him. It equates to service. So now we have salvation, sanctification, and service in this 24th verse in the directive that Jesus was giving to His disciples to say, this is how you must live. To follow someone means to put their teachings into practice. In other words, we begin to produce their philosophy in our lives. John 15, verses 4 and 5. Remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. This whole invitation and presentation thing will be nothing but a duty if you're trying to meet a criteria on a piece of paper. The idea is to help motivate you to live out normally and naturally the overflow of the Spirit of God in your life so that you indeed are representing Him to your world, caring about other people the way He cares about them, seeing them as He sees them. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. We have to give our lives to Him. Christ does not want to be our helper, Charles Trumbull wrote. He wants to be our life. He does not want us to work for Him. He wants to do His work through us. Do we see ourselves as a servant of a master in the sense that we're missing the point? Or do we see ourselves as being filled with God's Spirit, saved by His blood, and being the overflow of His personality? He does not want us to work for Him. He wants to do His work through us. Matter of fact, Paul said in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Through Him. He can work through me if I am in Him. Abide in Him. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in His steps. In His steps. And 1 John 2, verses 5 and 6. But if anyone obeys His word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in Him. This is how we know we are in Him. Whoever claims to live in Him must walk as Jesus did. The cost of discipleship. Is it too much? Is God asking too much of us? Is it too much for Him to say, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me? Is that too much? Is that humanly impossible? Absolutely. But He's not asking us to do it out of our humanity. He's asking us to die and offer our bodies as a vessel for His divine nature to fill us and to work through us. So that He's not asking us to imitate Him or mock Him or produce that on our own. He's saying, offer me yourselves without condition, wholeheartedly, completely, and I will do things that you can't even imagine. Is the cost of being a disciple too much? I don't know who this has been credited to. I've read it in several places through the years. But I close this morning with this statement. The cost of forsaking Christ is greater than the cost of following Christ. The cost of forsaking Christ is greater than the cost of following Christ, because if you forsake Christ, it will cost you your soul. But according to Jesus, if you deny yourself, take up your cross and follow Him, you'll find your life. Father, this morning we ask You to look deep within our hearts and minds. Jesus said to Peter, you're not thinking about the things of God. You're thinking like men. You're thinking about the things of men. Lord, help us to get our mind right. Help us to get our mind around the fact that we can deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow Jesus, and that whatever that cost is going to be is not as much as we're going to gain. Help us to realize the cost of forsaking Christ is greater than the cost of following Christ. So, Lord, as we stand to our feet this morning, we contemplate in Your Spirit, what would You have us to do? Stand with me this morning, please. Lord, are we yielded to You? Do we know that we're saved? Have we given up our lives? Have we given our lives to You? Are we saved? Have we confessed our sins and received You as our personal Savior? And Lord, are we sanctified this morning? Have we been crucified with Christ? Have we died out to the old sinful nature, the old carnal nature? Have we allowed You to remove that by filling us with Your Holy Spirit and Your love? Have we been sanctified holy? Have we taken up our cross? And Lord, are we of the mindset to serve You faithfully this morning? To follow You? To be in Your footsteps? To walk as You did? Lord, have we fallen short of that goal? And if we have this morning, Lord, these altars are open. And Lord, the devil would say to us, if you step out of your pew and you go forward, you're going to be admitting you have failed. Lord, I don't see it that way. Because when the Holy Spirit speaks to us and challenges us to move up into a new level of surrender or identifies a dark crack or crevice in our life that maybe we haven't even seen or been aware of, and You make that known to us, and we give that willingly to You, Lord, that is not failure. That is success. That is obedience. That is walking in the light. That's a good thing, and the devil hates it when that happens. So, Father, under the searchlight of heaven today, by the living Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword, cuts both sides of the blade, as we have laid our lives parallel to Your Word this morning, Lord, I have to admit to You, as you brought this sermon forth and as I read these scriptures and I prayed over these thoughts, Lord, I found weakness in my life. I found areas where I had to confess to You that I was less than what I believed You want me to be. And Lord, I had to confess to You that there's some things I'm not sure I've died out to, that I need to die out to. Lord, I think there's some places where I've been selfish that I thought maybe I'd gotten past that. Lord, I think I'm still a little selfish in some areas, and I want to surrender that to You. Because, Lord, I get to heaven the same way everybody else does. And I don't want to miss it. So I confess to these people this morning, I've already been to this altar this week. And now, Lord, I open these altars as an opportunity to them to simply say, I want to be all that God wants me to be. I want to have all that God wants me to have. I want to be yielded and surrendered. And so, Lord, we pause for a moment and we wait in your presence, knowing that you stand at these altars with open arms, waiting to embrace anyone who might come and say, I've fallen short, or I have a need, or I just want to move forward. I want to climb higher on the ladder. I want to do something a little different. I want to be that person that you want to be. And some are coming this morning. Father, I just pray in Jesus' name that you would help us to be the person you want us to be. Help us to grow. Help us, Lord, just to step into your life. We just want to be who you want us to be and how you want us to be. No holds barred. Nothing held back. Lord, we want to yield ourselves to you. We want to say that some of this stuff seems crazy, God. We just want to follow you. If you're going to do crazy stuff, we want to be crazy with you. I'd rather be crazy with you than sane without you. That's what Paul said in Corinthians one time. He said, if I seem out of my mind, I'm out of my mind for the sake of Christ. So, Lord, help us to trust you. Help us to know your heart and your mind. Help us to live in a mindset on the things of God, not the things of man. We love you. We praise you. Some have come this morning. We pause for a moment. Anyone else that wants to come, just have a place of prayer? Father, I pray with these that are here at the altar this morning. Pray your blessing upon their lives. You know exactly what they've come for this morning. Lord, you know what's on their heart and mind. And so, Lord, I just encourage them just to lay whatever you've spoken to them about, to lay it on the altar of prayer this morning. And say, Lord, here it is. I'm yours. And, Lord, take that thing. Give them the assurance. Put your arms of love around them. Hug them today, Lord Jesus, and let them know that you love them. And that you indeed are going to continue afresh and anew and continuously to fill them to overflowing with your Holy Spirit. In your presence in their lives, Lord, you have heard their prayer of confession this morning or their prayer of request, whatever it might be. Lord, we're not going to propose to know what they've come for this morning, but you know what they're here for. And Lord, we pray that you would just touch them, that you would fill them with your Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus, and that you would hear their prayers and that you would say, hey, I've got that. I've got that. Thank you for coming. Thank you for responding to that. Thank you for hearing my voice. Thank you for being obedient today. And I have heard your prayer and I am meeting your request. And I will use you to do my kingdom's work. You are my child. Joint heirs with Jesus. Siblings with our brother. And children of the holy God of heaven. Lord, this is your church. Do with it what you will. However you want to do it. We're going to do our best to be in the middle of it and follow. We commit our lives to you afresh and anew today. In the powerful and the precious name of your Son, Jesus. And again, all God's people said, amen. Amen. God bless you each and every one.